Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the regular semi-monthly meeting of the PNB National Finance Committee. My name is Tracy Rosenberg, and I'll be serving as the chair. It is April 26th at 5:37 p.m. Pacific Time, 8:37 p.m. Eastern Time. Our secretary is R. Paul Martin from WBAI. R. Paul, would you call the roll?
Okay. Ken Aaron, here. Jim Boyd?
Here.
Bill Crozier?
Here.
Campbell Johnson?
Present.
Kim Kaufman?
Here.
R. Paul Martin, here. Tracy Rosenberg?
Here.
Alex Steinberg? Barbara Whipperman?
Here.
LaVarne Williams?
Present.
Bruce Wolf?
Here.
Okay, we have a quorum.
Okay, terrific. Welcome, everyone. The first order of business is to take a look at our draft agenda, which is carried over from last month with the addition of one motion and the removal of the item regarding KPFK's 2011 budget, which has been forwarded on to the Pacifica National Board for approval. I'm going to go ahead and read out the draft agenda because I sent it at 5:29 p.m. and I don't know if the members of the committee have had a chance to look at it yet. Item 1 is to approve the agenda. Item 2 is to approve the April 12th minutes of this committee. Item 3 is a couple of updates, and it includes a treasurer's meeting, if another one has happened, a little bit regarding the PNB and our budgetary timeline, and a brief report on the underwriting concerns around Merrill Lynch and Goldman Sachs and what we have been able to find out about that. The fourth item is a mid-year budget review. We're going to try to do that for two stations. I don't know which two. It will depend which treasurers are ready to jump into the breach. And in the written agenda that I sent, it says 450 minutes, but my actual goal there is 45 minutes. Item 5 is new business, a motion from Ken Aaron. That motion reads that a spreadsheet be maintained on the NFC Yahoo group documenting the status of the different business units in compliance with the budget timeline. This to be maintained by the secretary based on emails he receives from the committee members. Item 6 is a new business. It's a motion from myself, and the motion states that station financial statements include a list of grants held in restricted funds that cite the name of the provider and the named restrictions on the use of the funds, and that I'm just offering up to the committee this evening. So are there any changes or modifications to that proposed agenda?
One little thing.
Yeah.
Item 5 should just be new business, and you can put the motions in, but you don't have to make it a number 6 new business. It would just be, you know, another new business thing would be a motion from Tracy Rosenberg, et cetera.
You're entirely correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, thanks.
A and B.
Tracy, this is Alex. I just got on the call.
Welcome, Alex.
It's also Arlene. I just got in.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Okay, are there any other suggested changes or modifications to the agenda?
A question, Bill.
Yes.
Are we going to have an executive session? Do we need to have one? Just curious about the time.
We have one scheduled if needed, but at the moment no item has been presented that would need to be in closed session.
Okay.
Okay. Do the people who just showed up have any feedback on the agenda?
It's Barbara, and I have a question. You read through about 3 or 4 things for item 3. Could you just read those again?
Yeah. Item 3 was basically supposed to be brief updates, and I mentioned 3 things that I think there might be updates from. One was the last treasurer's meeting, since I think you guys met.
Mm-hmm.
The second was the PNB, and that was just regarding the status of the budget timeline that we had proposed and what happened. And nothing has happened, so it'll be a pretty brief update. And then the third item was an update on the concerns about Merrill Lynch, Goldman Sachs
okay.
underwriting.
All right.
Okay.
Because there's a little bit of updated info.
Okay. I will put. How about we put it this way? Updates on Treasurer's meeting, PNB retimeline, and underwriting. So that's the way it'll go in a minute. Okay.
Yes.
Campbell Forstack.
Yes, Campbell.
Yes. I have a problem getting a 8:29 agenda for an 8:30 meeting, and I would like to register an objection for the record on that.
Duly noted. My apologies.
This is Ken. I move to approve the agenda.
Thank you. Any objections? All right. The agenda is hereby approved. The second item is our April 12th minutes, which were posted by our wonderful secretary some time ago. Is there a motion to approve the April 12th minutes?
So moved.
Any objections? Minutes are approved. Okay, that brings us to the update items, number three, and I guess we'll just go through them in order. The first would be the most recent treasurer's meeting. I'm thinking maybe we'll go to LaVarne for that, and then if any of the LSB treasurers who participated in the meeting have additional comments, they can follow.
Yeah, this is LaVarne. Thank you. I'm looking for my notes, of course. I can't find them now. And basically what we did is we met, and one of the action items to come out of the meeting is that what we will do is have our little internal timeline for each one of the treasurers or to look at, and for the stations actually to meet, and so that each station, if they have not met a certain goal at a certain period, then we know it's a huge time to step in and try to get it done, and you know, go for other resources or people to pull them in to make sure that those things are done. For example, you know, so we'll have an internal timeline within the stations and with the business managers as well as for the finance committee. And that was the basic thing. I guess other people, we had more, I think, more participation. And so those were the main items, I think, that came out of there. So if other people would like to comment, that would be wonderful.
Okay. Do any of the other treasurers who attended the meeting want to add anything, or? Okay. Sounds like we're moving along, which is great. Okay. The second update just regards the state of our timeline at the big board, and I think that I can do that. And, of course, if any of my fellow PNB members want to chime in here, feel free. But basically, the report is simply that the April 7th PNB meeting did not accommodate a finance committee report, so I did not make one. My intent was simply the schedule has already been forwarded, so my intent was simply to draw people's attention to it, present it as a report for the committee's planned work. And I will sort of do that on the record at next Finance Committee report, which should be on the 27th due to the necessity to act on the budget for KPFK. And that's pretty much it. Anybody else want to? Okay, and the last item regards the underwriting concerns. I can reiterate to some degree what was forwarded earlier. LaVarne, is there anything that you want to produce on that, or would you like me to do that?
First, I would like to say that thank you, Tracy. You did an excellent job in terms of explaining that, trying to bring some reality to this issue, and hopefully to diffuse this unwarranted attack on the WBI group for getting funds. So if you would continue, that would be great.
Okay. So let me just kind of summarize. There's a more complete report-like thing that went out to all the members of the committee, among others. But just briefly, the issuer of the checks in question is Goldman Sachs, which is the working name of the Goldman Sachs Charitable Gift Fund, which is a registered charity in England and Wales and registered at the Hong Kong England Inland Revenue Department, blah, 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 blah. The funds are a donor-advised gift by an individual who wishes to remain anonymous and is located in New York City. The funds are payable to the Pacifica Foundation. The donor recommends that the funds be used to support the WBAI News Department and a possible special series on the subject of hydrofracking, but the only requirements in terms of the terms of the gift are as follows. By accepting this check, your organization is deemed to certify to Goldman Sachs Gives that no tangible benefit, goods, or services were or will be received by an individual or entities connected with the Goldman Sachs Group, Inc., or Goldman Sachs Gives, and that you will not use this grant to satisfy the payment of any pledge or other personal financial obligations on behalf of the person recommending this grant or any person or entity connected to the recommenders. So those are the two conditions, and it seems that we can meet them. So the recommendation on my part is that this is basically an unrestricted major donor gift to WBAI and that it would make sense to record it as such. There is no grant report due to the entity Goldman Sachs Gives. So there is no accountability in terms of the funds being used or not being used in accordance with the donor's recommendation.
I'm sorry, Tracy.
Alex,
you called it unrestricted what?
Well,
I called it an unrestricted gift or unrestricted major donor income. We have a category in our income statement for major donor income.
Okay.
And having seen this paperwork, it seems to me that that is a more correct place to put it.
Can I make a brief comment, Tracy?
And then Ken to the staff.
And Bill.
Okay, so I think I had Alex and then Bill on the stack. Did I hear that correctly?
Ken. Did you get Ken?
Okay.
Ken.
Alex and Bill and Ken.
And Arpal.
Okay, two points. Just a minor correction to the email you sent out earlier. The WBAI LLC was not responsible for spreading the misinformation about this matter. This was a motion that was passed by the WBAI Local Finance Committee. The motion was presented by a member of the LSP, but the WBAI LSP itself never said anything about this.
Yes, I want to clarify that our Paul already corrected me on that front, and I am apologizing for the record. I'm not in New York, and it was just ignorance on my part.
The other matter is I understand that the misinformation was broadcast by KPFA News Department. I'm very, very concerned about that, and I would like to ask the executive director to investigate that news department and why it broadcasts its misinformation without checking any facts.
Arlene to the staff.
Okay, well, let's do this. I think that's correct, Alex, and let's move through the stack, and then hopefully someone will address that as we go along. The next person is Bill.
Well, I'll be glad to let Arlene address that first.
Yeah. Or just Ken, I have additional questions.
I mean, I have another question, too, but maybe let Arlene answer that.
Okay, let Arlene pop up at the top.
If it's okay with everyone, we can do it either way. Sounds like, Arlene, you have the floor, then we'll go back to the stack.
Okay. I addressed, as part of the news last night, as much as I knew at that point. I still didn't have the actual paperwork, and I thank Tracy for getting that. I had requested it, too. That was my basic understanding when we discussed this when we were in New York last October, and that's when we first discussed that with Baritola, the station management, and Laverne also met with him with the person from Goldman Sachs. The station manager is in the process of sending out a correction, and he will be taking corrected information to the airways, as well as he has instructed the news department that they must vet stories completely before they air them. The fact that they said that I didn't respond to phone calls was technically true. They called me at 1 o'clock on Sunday, Easter Sunday afternoon. I was in the air, and they told me that if they didn't hear from me between 2 and 2.30, it would be too late. I called them when I got to Phoenix around 5 o'clock time, which is still an hour ahead of news, but there was no one in the news department.
Okay, thank you for that update. I'm going to continue with the stack. Bill, you want...
Okay, yeah, thanks, Tracy, for checking that out. I'm sure it took a little time, and I appreciate you getting that. One question that's probably going to come up, and if the, maybe you don't know, but just curious, why didn't this major donor just give it directly to us? Was it a was there a matching gift involved or something, or just curious if we know that, why?
I can guess about it, but it would be nothing more than conjecture, and let's continue with the staff, and
okay.
When I call on myself, I'll tell you what I think the answer is, but I'm not sure that there's any way to...
I don't know, that's right, yeah.
Okay, Ken, you're next.
I appreciate all your efforts on this. I'm concerned, were you able to obtain confidential information about this donation as the chair of the Treasury Committee, of the Finance Committee, or because you found out information other people are trying to get and couldn't, did you do that under, do you have a special position? That's one question. The second question is, even though this is a restricted donation, will it show up or could it show up somewhere as that Goldman Sachs or, and they could use it for a PR advantage to say they're supporting liberal causes? That's
okay.
Two questions.
Are
we contributing to a greenwashing of Goldman Sachs?
It's a fair question. Okay, there was one other person on the stack, and I didn't write it down.
So, Paul?
Thank you, Paul. Go ahead.
Okay. Pardon me, I'm chewing something. Yes. I'm glad that I think you've answered some of my questions, or I'm glad you're going to issue the thing that the BAI LSB didn't hear about this. The LSB doesn't meet until May 11th, and this came up at a finance committee, which I chaired, on the 21st, last Thursday. So, in fact, what happened was it was under grants. We asked what were the grants. The general manager told us it was Merrill Lynch, something from Merrill Lynch, and then we had some questions about it, and the general manager said he would answer all those questions. He'd look them up. And then we went on with a couple of other items, and then a member brought a motion which basically said the same stuff we'd already asked for, and the general manager had said he'd do, and so we just passed the motion fast, and some people have not waited for answers to come in for the question. And I guess we still have to look at this, and the other thing is... my understanding from what you've just said is the WBAI general manager will be issuing the official statement on this that will go out to the world?
Okay, I'll put that on my list of things to answer as best I can.
Okay, because I just want to know, you know, understandably, there are people who are very upset, and so something needs to go out in New York from an official source saying, here's what the facts are. So, you know, so if management issues that, that's great, and I look forward to seeing that.
Alex to the stack.
Alex, go ahead.
I just want to add that the resolution that was passed by the WBI Finance Committee was not simply a resolution asking for information. It made certain allegations. And the allegations turned out to be false. So it was the whole thing was improper to begin with. It's one thing to ask for information in a resolution. It's another thing to say so-and-so happened and this is against policy and so on. And that's essentially what they did.
Okay. If no one else wants to talk, I'm going to call on myself and just try to answer some of those questions as best as I can at this point in time. Is that okay? Or does someone else want to talk?
R. Paul might want to answer the last thing that was said.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The actual motion that's passed, I'm looking at it right here, and the actual motion asked for a report on what we then thought was Merrill Lynch and it asked for the amounts and dates of the donations, stated purpose, the programming for which it was to be used, the persons who solicited and accepted the donations, and an explanation of how the donations are consistent with Pacifica's policies. So, you know, yeah, maybe the last part there can have a little stinger in it. The main thing is the rhetoric that flowed around that was the major thing that was rather condemnatory without getting the facts.
All right. So I'm going to try to answer the questions that were presented as best as I can. Some of them I know the answer to. Some I'm just speculating, and I'll try to be clear where I'm, you know, offering what I think is a reasonable conjecture, but I don't know for a fact. Bill's first question was, in the conjecture range, why didn't the guy donate to BAI directly? I mean, I don't know the answer to that. This is my conjecture. Number one, the donor wished their name to be anonymous and not public, and I think that using the Goldman Sachs gives was one way to accomplish that goal, and I am trying to honor that. I think the second reason might have been, although I don't know for sure, I think that the entity had some funds, basically in a donor-advised fund, maybe a, you know, a chunk of salary that was taken out or a chunk of stock options or however this big money kind of stuff works, and was basically in the position to pull money out from that fund and have it dispensed according to his recommendations by the Goldman Sachs Gives entity. And I think sometimes when people have a lot of money to give away that they will use the charitable trust of their employer to do that. So I suspect that in order to write the check, he had to, you know, basically requisition it from the fund, and then they would do what he told them to do. That's my guess, and it's conjecture. Okay, the second item was, Ken asked about how I got information. It is true that I did call Goldman Sachs, and I ascertained, you know, how they write grants and where they come from and who administers it, and I did state in so doing that I was the treasurer on the Pacifica Foundation Board of Directors, and that was why I was calling, and that we were having trouble locating, because I thought we were having trouble locating, some backup material on this particular donation, specifically whether it was earmarked or not, and if they could help us by providing whatever information they had, that would be great. That is, I think, the only thing that I did. They needed a little bit of information to identify the paperwork, and Lavarne was very helpful in getting that information. And between the two, and I believe she got it from BAI, and between the two sets of data, we were able to assemble the paperwork record, which was great.
Let me point of information. My concern is that the information which you're now protecting is protected because you were able to get it. Couldn't someone else?
I believe, although I could be wrong, what the individual at Goldman Sachs told me was that as the recipient of the funds, as the treasurer, and I showed him my name on the Pacifica website, that he was, of course, perfectly entitled to release this information. It had already been released to BAI, but that it should not be publicly disclosed, and so I don't intend to publicly disclose it. It is certainly information that BAI had, and it is information that Pacifica Foundation has or had with the paperwork that accompanied the check. It's certainly information that the producer in question has, but it is not information that we want to post up in the world. Does that make sense? And I will release the requisite documents. I just want to cross out the person's name first.
Yes, thank you.
Okay. The last question I can recall had to do with greenwashing, the idea of greenwashing, and I just wanted to say that I read aloud the terms that affected the money, and the terms were fairly clear that BAI and Pacifica were not obligated to do anything. Those particular terms don't, in fact, require Pacifica to use the money for BAI. Although, of course, obviously that's the intent of the donor, and we wouldn't want to do anything else.
No, my question is, if they can use the fact of their donation to their own credibility as being, you know, kind-hearted towards progressive organizations or broad-minded or whatever they would want to.
Yeah, this is a donor-advised donation from an annual giving fund, meaning that it is not initiated by Goldman Sachs. It is initiated by this individual who, in fact, no longer works at Goldman Sachs. So I think the only individual who could claim to have caused the donation to occur is this person as an individual. This person no longer works for Goldman Sachs. In other words, this is an annual gift. It is not a dispensation from Goldman Sachs, Inc.
Or their charity that they created. Well, it's from the charity, but at the instructions of the donor.
And apparently with funds that are controlled by that donor.
Okay.
So I think the answer is no.
Kim on the stack.
Okay. Kim?
I have a question. I'm confused about how this money or this donation was solicited. Did this one producer know this person and solicit it that way, or how did it happen?
What I was told, and I was told this, I believe, by Arlene, who I presume was told this by Bertold, just to get the sort of, because it is hearsay. But what I was told was that the producer in question, whose name is Rebecca Miles, attended a grant writing workshop in New York City, and that is where she made the acquaintance of this Goldman Sachs employee who is no longer a Goldman Sachs employee.
Wow.
And obviously they were discussing fundraising challenges of various kinds. Arlene, do you want to comment on that further, or maybe you have more information?
I'm sorry, I had to step away because it was an important call that came in, so I didn't hear the last of what you said.
I was repeating what you told you, the information you had obtained from Bertold while in New York, which was that the WBAI producer in question, her name is Rebecca Miles, I don't think that's a secret,
right?
Had met the individual who donated, who made this donation at a grant writing workshop in New York City.
I'm not sure if she met him at a grant writing workshop or if she just found out about the possibility of this kind of funds. And he had made some inquiries about possibly contributing something to WBAI, and somehow it hadn't connected with the right people, and she's done some grant writing for them, and she found out about it, so she made contact with him.
Okay, then I will take that as what we know about the answer to that question right now.
I think that's all we know. I don't quite have it totally together, but she was the one who actually talked to him, wrote up the request, and consequently the money was sent in at least through her.
Are people satisfied with that answer, or would they like us to try to get more information for a future Finance Committee meeting?
This is LaVarne.
Yes.
Thank you. I'm trying to just emphasize again what I said earlier. I'm not sure if we said it on this call. But actually, I met with the donor along with Bertold and Rebecca when I was in New York for the PNB meeting. So I met them individual, an absolutely wonderful person. And we really appreciate this gift to the foundation and to WBAI. So, yes. So I met with them and just wanted to let everyone know that. and that he gave the $5,000 and then he gave the additional $10,000. So that's really wonderful, really good work on the part of Rebecca, on the part of Bertold, and the fact that there are people who do have the funds in these types of funds, whether it's Goldman Sachs or San Francisco Foundation or whomever, who like the work that is being done by Pacifica, by the radio stations. We welcome and appreciate your gift.
Ken to the stack.
Kim to the stack.
Okay, what I'm going to say, guys, is we're getting fairly close to the time that we had allocated for this item. So if possible, let's do Ken and Kim and whatever comes out of that. Is there anyone else who really, really wants to be on the stack?
Okay, then we'll probably stop at that point. Yeah?
I'd like to say one little thing. Admit to the stack, Alex.
I think that the deal was that the person...
Campbell, are you speaking to the committee or are you speaking to someone else?
I'm trying to understand what's going on here.
Well, we have a stack.
Would you like to be on the stack, Campbell?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Is there anyone else who would like to be on the stack? Okay, then we're going to go Ken, Kim, Alex, Campbell, and then I think we're pretty much not going to take new stack. We're going to move the agenda. So, Ken, you're up.
I agree with moving
the agenda. I'm sorry. Yeah, Ken, Kim, Alex, Campbell.
Yeah, I agree with moving the agenda, and I just wanted to say maybe research has to be done about the definition of what funds we can accept, I'm very glad that this is a wonderful person who donated this money, but I'm sure we're willing to accept donations from people who are not really wonderful, but just feel like supporting the station and the network. So I'm always very cautious when people are want to discriminate about who's allowed to help us. On the other hand, we do want to keep a good distance, arm's length distance, which is a financial term, from corporations so that they have no influence or coloration to our programs or mission. Again, though, you know, I'm sure we get money from people who have what we would consider disreputable character, and we accept it gladly. Thank you.
All right, Kim, you are next.
Now I'm confused again because I thought the amount accepted was $5,000, but now I'm hearing $15,000.
Yes, there are two checks, one from October 2010 for $5,000, the second for $10,000 that was received in February 2011.
Okay.
I had Alex next on the stack.
I just want to say that this whole brouhaha over this business, I think it's very bad because... Here we had a producer who took an initiative, who really did something quite commendable, and there's all this flack over this. This is really going to put a damper on future attempts to get grants. I think one thing we could do to help would be to have a clearly worked out written policy about all this stemming from the National Board, and I'll be working on that with some other people, but I really wish people would not rush to judgment when they hear about things like this and get the facts first and not be so quick to blame and condemn people. That's all.
Okay, Campbell. All right, I guess no Campbell.
Yes. I'm wondering, were the checks written on an individual's account, or were they written on a corporate account, or were they written on a foundation account?
They were written on a foundation account.
A Goldman Sachs foundation account, both of them were written on the same account?
Yes.
Okay, and one was for $10,000, one was for five?
Yes.
Okay, and the $10,000 I got as being October 20th, 2010, is that correct?
No.
What was that date?
February 18th, 2011 is the date of the check.
Okay, and that's for the $10,000 check. And the $5,000 check was what date, please?
This was all put in the email report that you received, but it's October 26th, 2010.
October 26th.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. All right. And with that, we are going to move into mid-year budget reviews. I am hoping that perhaps we can do two of our five stations. That may or may not be realistic. I know a couple of you prepared them for the first quarter. I don't know whether you prepare them for the whole year, but I'm hoping that you've at least looked at them and can give us sort of a narrative about what's going well and where the large variances are. Presumably you've done something similar with your LSBs and your finance committee. So the question is, do I have any volunteers to be the first one or two stations? Oh, come on.
KPFT, Jim.
Okay, KPFT will be one. Who is our second volunteer? Well, if nobody volunteers, we might have to do like alphabetical order or something. All right, well, let's do this. We will give Jim from KPFT some time, hopefully maybe about 10 or 15 minutes with some space for questions. If you don't need all that time, Jim, that's fine. And I'm sure at the end of your presentation, another treasurer will be inspired.
Yeah, Tracy, I'll take a crack at it. Is WPFW.
Mm-hmm. Oh, great. Okay, so we have Jim and we have Bruce. Okay, Jim, you're up. How is KPFT doing halfway through the year?
I think we could say we're doing better than most. There was some unusual, both in terms of revenue and in terms of expenses that came up during the first, especially December, January, and then, as we said in the treasurer's business manager's meeting, we had some weather problems down here on the second day of a fund rise in February. But from the beginning of the, in December, our station is putting some repeater transmitters up, and there were costs in kind of a dribble of costs through December and January of both material and labor to get those repeater transmitters started. We've got one up, I believe, in Huntsville now. Bill, is it Huntsville?
Yes, that's right. Huntsville, Texas.
Yeah, so we've got that going, but it was kind of a slow process, and so there were funds taken out of a number of accounts that weren't fully budgeted for. That came in terms of contract labor, in terms of equipment. That added some costs in the December and the January period. We have come up a little bit short in the during the fund drives. One problem we had in the winter fund drive was the ice storm we had in the end of February, which those of you up north probably don't understand what a bad problem that was for us. It froze up our tower, so we were off the air for almost a day, and that was the second day of the fundraiser, and we ended up coming up, about 12-13% short of our expected goal on that. No telling, you know, what that would have had. It was just hard because it was on the beginning of the fundraiser. Also related to that, we had some delays in getting everything inputted. And so the February, March, and April numbers for listener-sponsor donations were all a little bit lower than they are. So we should probably get a bit of a pop in the first part of April from donations that really were part of the February fundraiser. We've had a number of events that have gone through. We do a lot of small events, getting $500, $1,000, $1,500, $2,000, and those have been pretty steady. Came up a little bit short. We had a gumbo cook-off just recently, and that came up a little bit shorter than we'd expected, but it had been a pretty large endeavor for us to put together, and it's something that we hadn't done for, about 10, 11, 12 years. And so it was kind of a restart of something that had been very popular on our Cajun music show and was kind of a give back for a long time programmer who really used this to say thank you to his listeners. All in all, we're doing pretty good. We did some contract work. We lost our what was her title, Bill? Benefits coordinator?
Our membership coordinator.
Membership coordinator. And so we were...
She died back in January, I believe.
January,
just before, just before February fund drive.
We didn't have a salary for that position. Everybody kind of did extra work to cover for that, so there wasn't a salary for a period of time on that issue. Clouding all this is the we've gotten the K-True we're in effect leasing one of our HD airwaves to KTRU from Rice University, and that started we just got the news that the protest of the purchase of the tower and the call numbers by University of Houston, that the protest was denied. And so I believe that it's supposed to be this Thursday that KTRU will no longer be on the air, and it will be the sole, the HD channel on KPFT will be the sole source of K-True signal. It will require an HD radio to get it, but the one thing about that is it's a very, very young audience that we have a hard time getting a hold of, and they have to go through. From what I'm told, they can't go directly to the KTRU station. They have to go through HD1 and listen at least for a short period of time to KPFT before they can get to the KTRU. So hopefully we may be able to pick up some younger listeners who get used to dialing us up. But all in all, we're a little bit above budget, and I think we have to look back and say, you know, it could have been a much rougher 6 months for us.
Are there any questions for Jim?
Yeah, this is LaVarne. I'm trying to pull this back up again as we talk. So I will have a question. Well, you know, first we sent out the preliminary numbers, like I guess a little over a week ago, and then Tracy sent some things out for me. I really appreciate that. And then I sent out the final report. So just want to get your opinion on the report format this time, the way we showed the summary, one page, this is all on legal sheets, one page that shows the revenue expenses, the surplus or deficit, and then the details on the back. So is that easier to read, or does that bring forward, like, what the information we're trying to do, we're trying to show here?
Which
file is Barbara?
I generally felt more comfortable with the full spreadsheet. I mean, that's kind of a... I understand why you did that, because it doesn't have quite as much information on it.
It's well, the full spreadsheet is after that first summary page. So the full spreadsheet is there along with the summary on the first page. Did you see that?
Point of information.
Okay, I think the point of information can go ahead.
So which file is this? Is this the M1103 summary? Is that what you're talking about, LaVarne?
This is the 1103 October to March FY 2011 final.
That's the spreadsheet name, I mean, the file name?
The file name is, I have is 1103 October to March FY 2011.
Oh, okay. Thank you. I'm looking at the wrong one. Okay.
Yeah, so it has the summary as the first page, and then the next, I think, four pages have all of the detail. But I know that some people were, like, they were saying the detail, like, exactly. Like, we kind of have, like, two audiences. We have, you know, like, the really finance people, the treasury, well, you treasurers and the business managers, and then you have people on the PNB who are not treasurers, who are not in the finance committee. So I was trying to present this so that each person could understand and also understand what the issues are. So my question with KPFT was, you know, we're kind of looking at the second quarter variance, and we see that, you know, the big on the second quarter, the big variance of almost $91,000 is due to the contract with U of H. And like you're explaining on the listener support, and for the year, it's a little worse than budget. So what is, I mean, and I know you're doing the outside events, and congratulations. I'm sorry it didn't make as much funds as you wanted, but in terms of the gumbo cook-off. So what are the plans in terms of getting back to the budget or on the listener support, or are there plans, or has the station talked about doing something to get back towards budget on listener support?
Okay, again, there was probably some carryover into April.
Right. So if I look at, KPFT has a cash flow. So if I look at that, I'm trying to pull that up too, and that's what I was trying to do at the same time. But continue, please.
So the problem we had with that winter fund drive were the two primary problems. We were short about a day of the fund drive right from the beginning. So the circumstances drove down the sponsorships, listener sponsorships, and then it was just the inputting of the data. So hopefully at the end of April, we'll get a little stronger position on how we did on that fund drive. From there, we're just gonna pump through as much as we can on this. We have a fund drive coming up. The 3rd, 10th of May, 10th to the 27th, and you know, see what we can do on that.
Okay.
And this is Bill.
Bill, go ahead.
Yeah, I don't think Arjima specifically said what the strategy is for getting back. I think he's been a little relieved that we had some extra income because of the contract with Rice University, but yeah, we have been coming under our goals for the last several fund drives, and you know, we're not terribly behind. I believe looking at the last figures are slightly different than what you sent, LaVorne, but what Duane, our GM, gave us through the end of March, we were 45,000 below budget for listener support. But there's been some expenses that have also been under. Overall, we have a surplus because of the contract with Rice University.
Right.
If it wasn't for that, we'd be under.
Right. Right. So you know, in terms of the concern for the next 6 months, because we usually do better in the first half versus the second half, because like we said, you count the number of fund drive days and you can see what the difference
right.
is. So the concern is that how we're trending for the next 6 months.
Yeah.
So we have our PM meetings on Thursdays. So again, this we have talked about this before, and I'll just mention that again.
One of the problems we're going to have is assuming that KTRU money is there, and we have to view it in terms of that's something we can't dip into now. We really almost have to take that out of the planning and the real numbers for the rest of the year.
Yeah. I mean, because you've received it in the first half, so it's not going to be there for the second half.
Yep.
So for everyone, KPFT is a concern. You know, KPFT is really solid. I'm still trying to find the cash flow, and I can send that to everyone. And you know, it's solid. So when I looked at the cash flow, there is, you know, it also has a line that shows the difference month to month. So So at one point, you know, it is, I think, well, we do a cash flow out through like December of 20 or March of 2012. So it goes out that far. So, but that's a concern, and at this time, and you know, it, I know there are the economic issues that causes some of this too, but for everyone, that's a concern. KPFT in terms of maintaining the fundraising that they have done in the past, and also maintain, because you usually have a reserve of about 2 months. Of and when it dips below down to 1.5, it's like a big concern for KPFT and for the foundation.
And LeBarn, just a comment on the spreadsheet. I was looking at the wrong one. This is the one that I like. Okay, I was looking at one of the other three that you had had on this. So this is the form I like with all the divisions. Yeah, especially with the expenses.
Okay.
Yeah, me too. This is Bill.
What's the name of that?
It's 703. It's the middle one. It's the middle attachment on that email.
Bill, you have something you wanted to...
I was going to say I like that version too.
1103_October-March FY211 final.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to do now is to put final in there, because we can get out preliminary numbers, like I said, about a week ago, but they'll change slightly, you know, based on, and we did the analysis for pension funding, a complete analysis reconciliation on that, so that was actually in the first half numbers, and we also, doing the expense for depreciation, so at the end of the year, that won't be a shock. You'll know where you stand in the middle of the year.
All right. Anything else on the Sword of Houston mid-year review, or shall we move down to Washington?
I think that's it.
No, this is Kim. I have a question.
Yeah.
Not for you, but for LeVar. I don't understand what you're talking about this pension. You just mentioned the pension thing. I don't understand that.
Well, like, should I explain, Tracy?
Yes.
The foundation gives like a 2% pension on salaries. There are certain rules in terms of you have to work, I think, the first 30 days or so. But so what we do is we fund that pension, and it's transferred to the pension fund. The analysis done at the end of, usually at the end of the year. So that's when it usually hits the P&L is in September. So what we chose to do this year is to, on a quarterly basis, we look at each one of the individuals who is qualified and actually do the calculations to determine what the pension will be for those individuals by unit. So that's done here. So that's what we did, so that we could put that pension expense that we'll have to do at the end of the year, put it in on a quarterly basis, so that what the numbers in the middle of the year will reflect what we believe the revenue and the expenses will be.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. Thank you so much, Jim. Especially for jumping into the breach and going first. That's always appreciated. Yes, you do. It's going to have to be that way. And I think we're going to move on to Washington. So, Bruce, you're up.
Okay. First of all, thanks to Jim, too, for going first. Let's see. I'd like to start. First, I'd like to make one comment. This is just something that I found out about today, and that's our business manager can't get reports from the national office that he wants. He says he's being locked out because of the audit. I don't know much more detail than that, but I'm just bringing that to the attention because there are some things that from time to time I try to get information on, and he can't get the reports to answer my questions. In general, revenue... I feel has been pretty good up to this point. We exceeded our fund drive goal in the fall, and one reason for that, I believe, is because the goal that was set was a more realistic goal, and I think the outcome was good. We raised more money than we set out to raise, and it generally created a good feeling about among the programmers who are our frontline people doing the pitching, and they felt a lot more successful than they have in the past. The winter fund drive came under what the goal that we set, but I feel in that case that perhaps the we got a little overambitious and set a goal that was a little bit higher than what we could really achieve, because what we raised in the winter drive was about what we raised in the fall, and usually it goes down a little bit. So in fact, the winter drive, I think, was actually successful, even though it technically came under the goal we set. What we did following the winter drive, though, is we instituted something new as an experiment for us, and it's what we call a soft sell, where we don't do, heavy-duty pitching every day, but there is a kind of, reminder to our listeners, that we need to raise money to, pay the bills and so forth. And we did that for about 3 weeks in March and raised an additional $12,000, which that was just the first time we did it. And we're thinking that, we can actually improve on that. We may do that some more. We also had some unexpected income in the way of a fundraiser that was put on by our local station board and raised $6,500, which we had not, planned for because we didn't know we were going to get it. And that was, a nice boost for us. We've also found that we've actually started pushing the car donations more this year than we had in the past, even though we were set up to do it. And we've found that, that we've already raised a lot more money than we had in the past. And it was definitely, near or approaching the year goal that we had projected. We, I'm looking at revenue first here. We've done pretty well with major donors, though I will admit what we call a major donor is, it's not like a huge amount of money, but it's, people who donations of $1,000 and above. But we have raised more than on par with what we were hoping for. Now, when it comes to expenses, first of all, I want to say that we have been, as planned, are steadily paying down all our outstanding bills. I forget now what the total was when we started out, but I think we've actually almost reduced it by half or more in this part of the year so far. And along with that, we've been paying old money owed for premiums from past drives, which means that we've been able to get premiums out to our listeners that have been waiting for a while. One issue is that when we did it, even though our fall drive was a successful drive, we had to immediately take some of that money and pay expenses that were left over from the previous fiscal year. There was a couple months of rent, and there was utility, electric bills that had to be paid, and I think some phone bills that had to be paid. So some of that money, which really should have been for this current fiscal year, actually went to get us caught up with the previous year. Now, there were unexpected expenses that we didn't know about when we put our budget together. And among them, there were some legal fees, which we had been informed that, legal fees that had been taken care of and were no longer going to be due in this year. Turns out there are still several months of payments, about $5,000 a month, that we had to pay. We had to, so we're having to take care of that